What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop my third single from my upcoming album, Crazy 8, which drops next Friday, May 8th. But the third single, Apex Cunt, dropped today, so you can check that out on my official website, katietrop.net. You will also find a promo video for my upcoming music video with All Due Disrespect as well, so you can check out both of those on my website, katietrop.net. And like I said, look out for the new album, Crazy 8, coming next Friday, May 8th. All right, y'all, let's get into the NBA playoffs. A few teams were eliminated this week, and one was pretty surprising, gotta say, but let's get right into it. Let's begin with the Orlando Magic versus the Detroit Pistons series, and this has turned into quite the battle. So game four went to Orlando. Orlando got the win 94-88. And they were pretty much dominating this game the whole way. Desmond Bane had 22 points. Banchero had 18 points and 8 rebounds. Wagner had 19 points. And it was just an all-around dominating game by the Orlando Magic. Pretty much only Cade Cunningham was able to get going for the Pistons, and everybody else just fell flat for the team for him. I mean, got to say, Jared Duran has really faded away in this first round of the playoffs. So he definitely has to step it up. And then in game five, the Pistons got the win 116-109. It was pretty much a complete blowout from the Pistons. Cade Cunningham made sure his team was not going to fade away in this one. He had 45 points. Tobias Harris had 23 points and 8 rebounds. But like I said about Duran, he's really just has not shown up in any one of these playoff games. Game six is tonight. Orlando has the 3-2 lead right now, so they could actually take care of Detroit. They are really pushing Detroit to the brink. If any team can overcome this, though, I believe the Pistons can. They are a very good team, but right now, Orlando has been in pretty much every single game, other than Game 5. The Pistons really did dominate Game 5 for the majority of the way, but Orlando really is not fading away, and I expect them to push them to the brink in Game 6 tonight. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder closed out the Phoenix Suns, 131-122. It was a clean sweep by the Oklahoma City Thunder. As a matter of fact, this was their third year in a row where they had a first-round sweep. So they are doing what they do. SGA had 31 points, 8 assists. Chet Holmgren had 24 points, 12 rebounds. Hartenstein had 18 points, 12 rebounds. And now they just sit and wait for whoever wins the Lakers and Houston Rockets series, but they got plenty of time to rest, and that's definitely what they need because you know they've got Williams sitting out with an injury, so any time they can get to get more healthy, they're definitely going to need that. But they sit pretty, and they have officially moved on to the semifinals. Then the Denver Nuggets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves series. That series was crazy. Game five, Denver took that one over, got the win 125-113. Jokic had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 16 assists. So a monster triple-double from him. Jamal Murray had 24 points, 7 assists. And then Jones had 20 points as well. So it's a really solid game from the Denver Nuggets. Game six, though, huge disappointment from them. So Anthony Edwards, he's out. They don't know when they're going to reevaluate him in a week. Basically, he's on a week-to-week basis right now with it looks like a sprained knee or a sprained ligament in his knee, something of that nature. Luckily, it's not a ligament tear, so he should be back depending on how long the series goes. But, I mean, Anthony Edwards did not play these last couple of games, and the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Denver Nuggets in the series. I mean, the Timberwolves pretty much dominated the series. It didn't matter that DiVincenzo was out, that Anthony Edwards was out. God, who else? Somebody else got injured. I can't remember right now, but another one of their players got injured. But yet they were still dominating the Nuggets last night. They got the win 110-98. McDaniels, 32 points, 10 rebounds. Naz Reid, 15.7 rebounds. And the Minnesota Timberwolves have moved on to the semifinals. They will be playing the San Antonio Spurs. That series begins on Monday night. We'll break it down on Monday's show more once we get into it. But I'm very surprised because the Nuggets, they had their full squad. They were stacked. They didn't have any injuries. And only Jokic was the only one really who showed up in each and every game, because Murray disappeared in game six. But the Timberwolves had basically nobody. They were missing their top tier stars, you know what I'm saying? And they still kicked the shit out of the Nuggets. Like I said, I'm going to break it down more on Monday. I don't think it's going to be that easy for them against the Spurs. I think the Spurs are a little bit better than them, but we'll break that down on Monday's show. But like I said, very shocked by what I saw from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Very shocked by just everybody around Jokic just completely fading away, especially in yesterday's game. That was just very odd to see, but that's the NBA playoffs for you. Then let's get into another crazy series between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. I thought the Celtics were going to roll away with this one. And no, the 76ers took over this week. Game 5, the 76ers got the win 113-97. Joel Embiid, 33 points and 8 assists. Huge playoff win for him. Maxey, 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. I mean, Tyrese Maxey is a monster. That I don't think he gets enough credit in the league, probably because the 76ers are just not really a standout team. But Tyrese Maxey is just such a fun fucking point guard to watch. He takes over so many games. He is such an excellent player. It's so nice to see that now Joel Embiid, he's played the last couple of games and made a huge impact. He's probably why they have pushed this to a game 7. Tyrese Maxey, I just got to give that dude a shout out because he has been so good since the day he hit the league. The 76ers just really lucked out with Tyrese Maxey, and I just think he's such a standout player to watch. Then in game 6, the Philadelphia 76ers got the win yet again, 106-93. Maxey had 30 points, Embiid had 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists, and Vijay Edgecombe had 14 points and 8 rebounds. And the Sixers have pushed this to a game 7. We have us a game 7 between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics coming up on Saturday night. I can't believe this. Because Boston, it's not like Boston didn't play really well in these last two games. The game 6, they kind of wilted. But game 5, not really. But I mean, it's just the 76ers are actually just kind of pushing this one to the brink for them. And we'll see what happens in Game 7. Me personally, I'm going with the Celtics in that matchup. But the 76ers, if Embiid is able to have a monster game and Maxey has a monster game and Edgecombe just takes care of business the way he's been doing it, makes those little plays that you need to down the stretch, I don't know, man. These 76ers ain't nothing to fuck with. But, you know, Tatum, Tatum, it sounds like he could potentially miss Saturday's game because he's got some soreness in his leg where he suffered the Achilles injury. And you don't really want to fuck around with that. So there's a good possibility he could miss game 7, which would probably be a huge deal. But you still got Pritchard. You still got Brown. You still got a very solid team. It's just, I don't know, man. Embiid's been playing very solid in these last two games. And it's showed it in wins. It's translated into wins for the Philadelphia 76ers. So we'll see what happens in Game 7 on Saturday night. Then let's get into the New York Knicks versus Atlanta Hawks series. Wow. The Hawks made this a series to start, and then all of a sudden Game 5 and Game 6 happened, and they were all of a sudden like, let's just go home. Because they got their asses beat in both of these games. They got beat so bad in Game 6, it was literally a historic ass-whooping. So, in Game 5, the Knicks got the win 126-97. Jalen Brunson had 39 points and 8 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had a monster game, 16 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. OG Anunoby had 17 points and 10 rebounds. But then Game 6 happened. And it was like the Atlanta Hawks just stayed at home. Because that was, if I remember correctly, the Knicks were up by like 50 points in the first half. It was a, it was so bad that I didn't even finish watching this game. That's how bad of a game this was. So the Knicks got the win 140, yes, 140-89. 140-89. The Hawks couldn't even muster up 100 points in that game. So OG Anunoby had a monster game. He had 29.7 rebounds. Mikal Bridges had 24 points, and Jalen Brunson added in a paltry 17 points and 8 assists. So he didn't even need to be the star of the game. But I don't know what that was from the Hawks, but the New York Knicks are moving on to the semifinals. They do not know who they play just yet, but they will find out after the weekend. But that was, you know, it looked like the Hawks were going to come to play in this one, and then those last two games, it was just pathetic from them. Then the San Antonio Spurs, they took care of business against the Portland Trail Blazers earlier this week, 114-95. Every starter was in double figures in Game 5, and they, like I said, they will be playing in the semifinals versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. That series begins on Monday night. We will break that down more, but, you know, the Spurs did exactly what I thought they were going to do, completely annihilate the Trail Blazers. Trail Blazers, not a very good team. They do have some talent, but just not a very good team. Spurs are a very good team with a lot of talent and actually look like they are a championship-level team. So not shocked that they were able to just take care of business in Game 5 and get ready for the semifinals against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then let's move on to the series versus the Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. And the Cavaliers took care of business in Game 5. It actually was a pretty close matchup. But then it just, the game really started to slip away from the Raptors in the second half, most notably in the fourth quarter. But the Cavaliers held on to that one, 125-120. James Harden, he had 23 points and 9 rebounds. Mobley had 23 points and 9 rebounds. And Donovan Mitchell had 19 points. Game 6 is Friday night, and Cleveland right now has the 3-2 series lead. So they could close it out in Game 6, or Toronto can extend this to a Game 7. We'll see what happens on Friday night. And then the last series we're going to talk about is between the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Game 5 was completely dominated by the Houston Rockets from start to finish. They got the win 99-93. All of their starters were in double figures. It was just complete and utter domination by them. Really, the Lakers played like shit. LeBron had turnover-itis. Austin Reeves came back, but he didn't shoot very well in this one. And it was a terrible ass showing from the Lakers. And the Rockets completely dominated them. In Game 6 is Friday night. The Lakers do have a 3-2 series lead right now. They can close it out in Game 6. Kevin Durant is not going to be playing at all in Game 6. It doesn't look like Luka's going to be there either. But Reeves is back, and the Lakers either have a shot to close it out, or the Rockets have a shot to push it to a Game 7. So we'll see how that one goes. And that is where we are at in the NBA playoffs right now. We've already had a few teams move on. And so Monday's show, we should be starting to we will be talking about all the semifinals matchups, because if any of these games are pushed to Game 7s that are Game 6s, like the series between the Cavaliers and the Raptors and the series between the Lakers and the Rockets, the Game 7s will be played on Sunday, so we will know who all of the semifinal matchups will be on Monday's show. All right, so let's move on to baseball. And another weird week of baseball. You know, we had Alex Cora fired over the weekend, and then we had another firing in the middle of this week, but it seems to have sparked the second team. So let's get into Monday, and the first game with no Alex Cora for the Boston Red Sox actually turned out to be a nice gem for them. They got the win over the Toronto Blue Jays 5-0. Suarez pitched a gem, 8 innings pitched with 10 strikeouts, and that's just what you want to see after you fire your manager and your entire squad. The team has to step it up, but who knows if that's going to translate into wins throughout the rest of the season, but definitely what you want to see right after you fire a coach. Also on Monday night, a dominating performance from the Yankees over the Texas Rangers, 4-2. Aaron Judge went 3-for-3 with a home run. Ben Rice had a home run, and Max Fried had yet another dominating starting pitching performance, 6-inning pitch and 5 strikeouts. Then on Tuesday, this was when the other manager was fired. The Philadelphia Phillies decided to fire Rob Thomson. You know, the Phillies have been playing just as terribly as the Boston Red Sox, so they had to shake something up in this one. And it actually turns out at least for this week, it worked out because right after they fired him, the Philadelphia Phillies went on to kick my Giants' ass 7-0. Luzardo pitched 7 innings with 8 strikeouts. Trey Turner went 4-for-5 with an RBI, and Bryce Harper also had a nice game as well. Then also on Tuesday night, another gem from the New York Yankees over the Texas Rangers, 3-2. Cam Schlittler, he pitched a gem. 6 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts. Aaron Judge had yet another home run, and Austin Wells also had a home run as well. And this was a battle, actually, between Schlittler and DeGrom. But, you know, it's the story of DeGrom's career. You know, when he pitched with the Mets, and now when he pitches with the Rangers, it is the same song and dance for him. He could never, ever, ever get the run support. He is one of the best fucking pitchers in the game. He is a strikeout king. He has so many different pitches he could just fuck you up with. But it's just the rest of the team around him cannot get him any run support, and this is what always happens to him. He always falls short in these really close games, and especially against the Yankees, because the Yankees are getting hot offensively. It's just a relief pitching that's really been letting them down. But right around the corner, Rodon and Cole look like they are about to step up off of the injured list, and then Volpe as well. So I'm looking at the Yankees to get stronger as the season goes on. Then also on Tuesday night, the Chicago Cubs got a big win over the San Diego Padres, 8-3. It's actually the Padres' first home loss in like a month, I believe. It's been a minute since the Padres had lost at home, and the Chicago Cubs just busted it open. Actually, the Cubs have been one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They look so good right now. PCA, he's also on fire. He had a home run in this one. Bregman went 2-for-2 with an RBI, and Nico Horner, he continues his hot streak. He also got on base in this one as well. Then on Wednesday, the Texas Rangers were actually able to get the better of the Yankees in their third matchup of the week. Uvalde pitched a gem in this one. He went 7 innings with 7 strikeouts, and the Yankees were barely able to even get on base in that one. Then the Miami Marlins took out the Dodgers at home, 3-2. Sandy Alcantara, you know, he's been a solid pitcher his entire career. You know, he's been a Cy Young Award winner. He's been a Cy Young Award candidate. He has been solid other than when he gets injured. In the last couple of seasons, he's been battling through the injuries, and it looks like Alcantara is back. He pitched 6 innings in this one with 4 strikeouts, and Hicks and Ruiz also each had a home run apiece in this one. And nice to see, man, the Marlins. I don't know how for real they are. I don't know if this is more like, you know, the beginning of the season, they look solid, and then once we hit the All-Star break, they start to fall apart. That could be them, but right now they look pretty damn good, and maybe they will still hang on to Sandy Alcantara, and he won't be trade bait at the trade deadline, because right now the Marlins are actually playing pretty decent baseball. Then also on Wednesday, we had the Atlanta Braves in a close matchup over with the Detroit Tigers. They got the win 4-3. Olsen had a huge game, went 2-for-4 with a home run and 2 RBI. Ozzie Albies had a home run and 2 RBI as well. And those are their two biggest offensive producers right now. They are just knocking them out of the park, getting on base. This Braves team is really, really strong right now. And they have some dudes who are on the injured list who are big timers. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Strider gets back, because, you know, I've actually been a huge fan of Strider. It just sucks because he continuously gets injured. But when the dude is healthy, he is money. And I kind of feel like you throw him into the mix with this team, they are already difficult to pitch on. You throw that dude in there, this is going to be a really damn good team. And Acuna hasn't got really going at all yet either. So this Atlanta Braves team looks really damn good to start the season. Then on Thursday, Philadelphia Phillies kicked the shit out of my San Francisco Giants again. Like I said, they just fired their manager on Tuesday, and they swept my Giants on out of Philadelphia. And they actually became the first team in 22 years to have 2 double walk-off wins, because Wednesday's game was canceled due to a big rainstorm. So they ended up playing a doubleheader on Thursday, and both doubleheaders were walk-off wins by the Phillies. And it pissed me the fuck off, especially game one, because I work from home, but, you know, which is great, especially when baseball's on in the middle of the day. I put that on. And I remember I kind of like turned away to do something with work because I thought the Giants were going to easily win this one. You know, they were up, I think like 3-1 or I mean 2-1 or 2-0. They were up and it was the ninth inning and I'm like, oh, they're going to win this. And I turned my head for probably like 10 minutes and all of a sudden I see the game's over and I'm like, wait a second, did the Phillies win? And then I'm watching it replay and I'm like, oh my God, they blew the first game. They lost the first game, 3-2. Justin Crawford had the walk-off win in that one. Then the second game came about an hour later after that one, and it was a back-and-forth affair. And then the Phillies walked it off. Again, they got the win 6-5. This one actually went 10 innings. So not only did they play a doubleheader, but the second game ended up going into extra innings. But Alec Baum had the sacrifice fly and Adolis Garcia scored on that one. So yeah, it was a very difficult day as a San Francisco Giants fan yesterday. So enjoy the weekend of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you on Monday.